Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to Genesis chapter 24. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. Genesis chapter 24, we're talking about the attributes or the characteristics of God. So this morning, we're going to talk about the guiding hand of God. You see how that is active in the account of Abraham sending his servant to find a wife for Isaac. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1 says, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for who you are. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are long-suffering. Thank you that you are a just and a holy God. You are merciful and gracious. And Father, as we look at this morning, we thank you that you guide us. Thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to prompt us through your word, to convict us when we're going the wrong direction, so that we might stay on the right path. Father, as we look at this passage this morning, help us to see how it can apply to our lives, how that you can use us and how that you can guide us. Pray that you would guide my words. Pray that you would open each one of our hearts, that we would see the truths that you want us to see this morning. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. At some point in our lives, each of us has to come to a point of decision where we have wondered, which way do I go now? But that brings us to another decision that has to be answered first, and that is, do I determine my own way, or do I seek God's direction? And there will come times in our lives when we're faced with decisions that are more important than others. For instance, it's not as important what restaurant I eat at as what job I get. It's not important what car I drive as to where I'm going to live or who I'm going to marry. But it doesn't really matter the significance of the decision. What's important is we seek the right counsel. And with so many promises in God's word about how God will guide us, it really is vain for us to seek counsel that's going to contradict his principles. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm chapter 73, verse 24, says, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And a familiar one that we all probably memorize, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So we come to Genesis 24 here, and the scene opens with Abraham at an old age. He had followed the Lord for the past 65 years from the time that he left the land of his fathers. And his obedience to the Lord had resulted in his God proclaiming blessings to him. He said, Abraham, you're going to have a new land. You're going to have as many descendants as the sands of the sea and as the stars in the heavens. And he says, "You all through you, Abraham, through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. We come to this passage here and we see that Abraham takes his responsibility as a father very seriously. If we remember back to last Sunday's message when God was about to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah, what did God say? Should I reveal to Abraham the things that I'm going to do? God did, because he knew Abraham was going to be faithful. Well, Abraham was faithful in this responsibility as well, and he took that responsibility very seriously. It seems he had a sense of urgency here to make sure that Isaac had a wife that would be the Lord's best for him. And he could not go himself because he says he was old. He was stricken in age. He was too feeble to go and make this journey. And so he calls his head servant to him and he instructs him in the matter. But it was more than just instruction here. He demands that his head servant take an oath. He says, you have to promise me, you have to swear by an oath that you are not going to take a daughter for my son from the Canaanites. So you go back to our country and you find a wife for Isaac there. And the first thing we see here in the guiding hand of God is that, number one, the guiding hand of God seeks a faithful servant. Verse 2 says, Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Abraham didn't entrust this to anyone. He didn't just go to the one of his servants and say, come here, I got something I need you to do. No, he called his eldest servant. And some think that was probably Eliezer, who had been with Abraham for a long time and proven himself trustworthy. And he had been given the responsibility here, it says, to manage everything that belonged to Abraham. Look at the phrase in verse 2. Yes, he was his eldest servant, but the next phrase says more about how he trusted him than anything. He ruled over all that he had. And this servant had proven himself trustworthy. In fact, Abraham so valued this servant that he was willing to give him the inheritance before Isaac was born. It says back in chapter 15, Abraham comes to God and says, God, you said you're going to provide me seed, but I had no son born in my house. He said, those born in my house are my heirs. He said to God, I'm willing to give the inheritance to those born in my house, which would be my servants. God says, no, you're going to have a son. Just trust me. He was willing to even give his inheritance to his servants. But now we see Abraham giving him the responsibility of finding a wife for Isaac. Look what the Bible says about someone being faithful. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13. Does God value faithfulness? He does. Proverbs 13, verse 17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. You know, it doesn't seem that Abraham had any trepidation over calling the servant to give him this responsibility. He says, I need you to do something for me. And he trusted him completely. It wasn't just a matter that he trusted him with belongings. He trusted him with his son's future. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 13. Proverbs 25:13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Luke 19:10, let me read that for you. Luke 16:10. Jesus says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So we see this servant had proven himself trustworthy, and what was going to happen? He was given an even greater responsibility here. Think of the magnitude of that responsibility. A man calls you into his home and he says, I want you to go find a wife for my son. It's like, but I thought that was your responsibility. No, I'm giving it to you because I can't go. He was given the task of finding the one who would carry on the line of Abraham all the way to the Messiah. He would continue that seed. It's like, wow. That's a huge responsibility. The guiding hand of God seeks a faithful servant. Number two, we see the guiding hand of God requires obedience. Chapter 24, verses 3 through 9, we see, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. And it goes on, Abraham gives specific instructions to his servant. He doesn't give it casually. Abraham knows how important this decision is, so he makes his servant swear by an oath that he would follow his instructions. What was Abraham asking his servant to do? Go back to the country they came from and find a wife for Isaac. Then the servant poses a question in verse 5. He says, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. What do I do if I find somebody and she doesn't want to come with me? Well, am I supposed to get Isaac and take him back and have her go get her? And Abraham says, no. Don't take Isaac back to that homeland, back to that country. Isaac is to stay here. Then he reminds the servant here in verse 7 of the promise-keeping God that he served. He says, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. He says, the Lord God of heaven has brought us this far. He's kept his promises as he said he would. He says, he's going to prepare the way for you. He's going before you to take care of the details. And you will find a wife for Isaac. We see the faith of Abraham again, don't we? He's just so confident. He says, don't worry about it. God's got it taken care of. It's just like when God told him to go sacrifice Isaac. What does he tell his servants? He says, did he say, well, I'll be back in a little bit? No, he says, I and the lad will return unto thee. We see a great faith there of God and in God's promises and in God's work. But then he addresses the servant's question. He realized it was a legitimate question. And in verse 8, he addresses that question. He says, if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. He said, if it happens, if you find one that's right and she's not willing to come, you're free and clear. I'm not going to hold you the oath anymore. You've done what you were supposed to do. The servant just needed to obey and go and trust God with the results. Now, this servant had been with Abraham long enough that he had been introduced to Abraham's God as he witnessed God's work in their lives. And so his response in verses 9 and 10 is not unexpected. Verse 9 says, and the servant put his hand into the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. Look at verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels, the camels of his master, and departed. It doesn't say he stood there and questioned some more. What do I do about this? What do I do about that? What do I do about that? No, he said he took the camels and he went. He obeyed. The third thing we see about the guiding hand of God is the guiding hand of God hears the prayer of the faithful. Verse 10, the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. He arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And they said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. But the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. The important thing that we see here is that Abraham's God was also his servant's God. You know, before the servant left, he didn't say to Abraham, well, you pray and I'll go. What do we see here? The servant comes to the well of water, and what does he do? What's the very first thing he does? He prays. He says, God of my master Abraham. He knew who this God was. He said, God, please direct me. Please guide me in this. The servant was not riding on Abraham's relationship with God. He had a relationship of his own. He was able to petition God to meet the need at hand and to direct him to the right woman for Isaac. You know, each one of us has the privilege of a relationship with God just like that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 tells us what God did when he died for our sins. It says in Ephesians 2:18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." The Jews and Gentiles alike, all of us have access to God. And it wasn't just Abraham petitioning God for this. It was Abraham's servant saying, "God, please direct me." But notice the statement of Abraham back in verse 7. What does he say? "God shall send his angel before thee." Matthew 6:8 tells us, "Your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." And that is such a comforting verse. It tells us God wants us to show our dependence on him and our confidence in his character. We can take assurance in the fact that God goes before us to prepare the way. God doesn't just say, "Go and things will work out." No, God says, "Go, and I've already prepared the way before you. You just need to obey." Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 to 23, God tells the Israelites, "I've already prepared the way for you. I've gone into the land, and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and all those people I will cut off before you." What did the Israelites need to do? He said, need to go and obey. God had already taken care of the details. He had promised that ungodly nations would be cut off. When we're prompted to do something for God, we may find ourselves hesitant. But as we see the hand of God at work, we can bring our concerns to him and be confident that he will prepare the way before us as we obey. So how does God answer the prayer of Abraham's servant? We see in verse 15, "It came to pass, before he had done speaking, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder." He just finishes praying, and who comes out? Rebecca. Is this the first time we've heard about Rebecca? Yes. Turn back to chapter 22, verses 20 through 23. "Came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor. Huz his firstborn, Buz his brother, Kemuel the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazel, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebecca." They had already possibly heard that Rebecca was the daughter of Bethuel. Maybe Abraham's servant didn't know that. But it just shows how God prepared the way for them and how God directed in all this. This is always all God's doing in all this. And the very first person that comes out is Rebecca. He just finishes praying. Here she comes. We don't always know how God's going to answer our prayer. In fact, Romans 8:2 says sometimes we don't even know how to pray. So that's why we have the Holy Spirit who prays for us, who intercedes for us to the Father on our behalf. Look again at the servant's prayer in verses 12 through 14. It says, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac." Now it would be reasonable to expect that a young maiden coming to draw water would be willing to draw water for a stranger who's at the well, and maybe even his traveling companions. But to expect that same maiden to draw water for 10 camels, and I didn't do the research on it, but I've heard camels can drink a lot of water. Okay? It's like saying, "Okay, give me a drink and then go fill my water tower." You know, it's just like, it's a huge task, and it seems unreasonable to ask that of this young maiden. But it doesn't say, the servant wasn't praying that she would be willing to give water for the camels at his request, was it? He simply says, that she would be willing to give him water. And then it says there that he was praying that she would offer it without any prompting. She would be willing to give the camels water without him saying anything about it. And it's like, well, what do you take from that? It had to be God doing the work, because I'm not going to say anything. Okay? This is a good example of specific believing prayer. The servant wanted God to direct in this whole situation. So he petitions God and he leaves the results to him. I think at times we pray for something, when we try to manipulate the situation so that thing comes to pass. Then we pass it off as an answer to prayer. We were talking recently about George Mueller, how God met his needs. And it was a result of Mueller praying to God and not trying to manipulate. One of the things that George Mueller said is, I'm not going to ask man for anything. And he didn't. Every time he needed something, what did he do? He went to God and said, God, this is our burden right now. God, this is our need right now. And what happened as a result? God provided for thousands of orphans in amazing ways. I mean, you come to a meal and there's no food on the table. What do? Well, let's gather around and pray and thank God for the food. But there's no food. Let's pray for, thank God for the food. And as they're praying, my wagon broke down outside and I've got a whole cartload of bread. Can you use some? And then the dairyman comes and shows up and he says, I've got all this milk that I can't get delivered. Can you use some milk? God provided. And he simply brought his burden to the Lord and said, God, this is our need. And the servant says, God, would you please clearly direct? And this is how I request that you would direct. God answered the servant's prayer as specifically as he prayed it, and he even added extra blessings with it. And the servant had taken an oath that he would go back to the country of Abraham's family and find a wife for Isaac. He obeyed his master and he went. He prayed for God's specific direction, and God answered it clearly and completely. The fourth thing we see here is the guiding hand of God is glorified in the fulfillment of his will. Look at chapter 24, verse 23. It says, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, and is there room in my father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute the master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The servant had no more appropriate response than to bow and worship the Lord, who had guided him in the way. Notice the way he says it here in verse 27. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. As I was studying this, one commentator said, you can't know God's will unless you're willing to be in the way. What way is he referring to here? What way is a servant referring to? The way of a faithful servant. The way of obedience. The way of dependent prayer. Do we realize that every one of us can be in that same way? We can be faithful servants. We can be obedient. We can be depending on God in prayer. Again, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, we see in verse 48, the response of the servant, Genesis 24, verse 48. As the servant rehearses to Rebekah's family how the Lord had directed him, and then he makes another request in verse 49. He says, "Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." And in verse 50, we see their answer. "And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, 'The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken.'" And once again, we see, what does the servant do? "It came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth." How many times do we have opportunities throughout a day to say, "God, thank you for helping me through that situation. God, thank you for giving me safety to work today. Thank you for giving me safety to come to church this morning. Thank you for just waking me up this morning." Just the little things that God does for us. Our alarm clock went off this morning. Just thank you, God. Thanks for the snow and the cold. He knows what's best. Aren't you thankful we don't have to rely on Mother Nature or climate change? We have a God who is in control of all that. And we can thank him for what he does. And we see here in this passage, as a servant bows once again, and he worships God, that God was glorified in the fulfillment of his will. And his prayers are answered. There's another picture in this account of that is like a spiritual allegory. Let me just read this. This is a quote I found. "The servant is like the Holy Spirit, who is in the world seeking a bride for Christ. The bride is to be made up of individuals who receive him as Lord and Savior, and who therefore will be brought unto him in regeneration by the Spirit. As the Holy Spirit, through human witnesses, through Scripture, through circumstances, witnesses to the hearts of individuals concerning the glories of Christ, their need of him, and the joys to be found in his presence, they are confronted with the greatest decision of their lives. They cannot ignore him. They must either say either yes or no. If they are united to him, they must leave the things of the world behind them and submit fully to him. Many reject the invitation and are separated forever from him. But as John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." In this passage, we read that Abraham's servant came and he requested that Rebekah come. And they said, "Well, let her stay another 10 days. He says, "No, we need to go now." And the Bible tells us, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And if God is working in your heart this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, don't hesitate any longer. Don't say, "Well, I'll think about it maybe next week." You may not be here next week. You may not be alive next week. You may be standing before God tomorrow morning. Don't hesitate. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe as a believer, God's speaking to your heart this morning about being a faithful servant, about being obedient to his word and depending on him in prayer. I would encourage you, if God's speaking to your heart this morning, please respond to him and walk with him and have fellowship with him. Allow God to do that work in your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this illustration of your work in these people's lives. Thank you for how you answered prayer. We thank you for the example of Abraham's servant who was faithful, who was obedient, who had that relationship with you so that he could petition you for his needs and ask you for a direction. Father, we thank you that you answered his prayer specifically. You guided him in the way that he was in. Father, thank you that you work in each one of our hearts the same way. You guide us, you direct us according to your word. There's principles there that we can follow. There's promises that you will lead us. Father, as we go through this week, I pray that you would help us to be dependent on you in prayer. And every turn we make, that you would help us to plead with you to guide us. And may glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.